At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back into the show. Congratulations on getting through your 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. I was given tickets to go to the Big 12 later today. I actually was given a couple extra tickets. I asked Rob if he wanted to go. Rob loves basketball. He's a season ticket holder for a college basketball team. So I would factor in that Rob would want to go to the game. Nah, man, it's kind of late, man. I got to get up early tomorrow. Tomorrow's a Saturday. What are you talking about? Well, man, I was just down there yesterday. I don't want to deal with the traffic. I don't want to deal with the parking. But these are two good games. These are four tournament teams that are playing. That you have no interest in going tonight? I'm a little down after KU. It was just a bunch of excuses is what I heard. I don't like seeing Rob like this. I really don't. I don't like Rob's energy being down this way. I really don't. Now, I do like why his energy is down, but I don't like that his energy is down. We got to do something to cheer you up. So, Rob, this is what I would like to do. This is how I want to kick off the 5 o'clock hour. I want all of us to come together. I want all of us to come together. I want us to stand in a circle and I want us to hold hands. And I want us to celebrate the fact that we only have one more KU basketball game to talk about. That's it. We have one more game. We don't have two more. We don't have three. We don't have two more weekends of Kansas basketball. Rob, it's almost over. It's been a long journey for you. I can see that this year has been trying for you. You told me that this has been the least enjoyable Kansas basketball season of your life. That's what you told me. You said you have not found joy in this, which sounds bad for somebody who donates to the Williams Fund. It should be fun for you. I want basketball to be fun. I'm telling you that you only got one more week of this. I don't know who they're going to play in round one of the NCAA tournament. I have no clue. But I know that bracket's going to come out and you're going to see them in that 7-10 game. Or that 6-11 game, and I'm telling you they're losing. I know they're losing. I've watched this team. You've watched this team. We've watched this team together. You know they're losing. They have won five games outside of Allen Fieldhouse since beating Duke in... This was before Thanksgiving. They've won five games since then. UCF, Colorado, TCU, Cincy, UCF. They struggled in just about all of those games. It was close. They went in overtime against UCF. They have not played well. Now, unless they're changing something and they plan on putting the first round of the NCAA tournament at Allen Fieldhouse, you only got one more night of it, man. You can get through it. You can get through it. You remember when you were a kid and you ate almost all of your food and your parents were like, man, you know what? At the end of this, I'll get you some ice cream. I just need you to take one more big bite. Can you take one more big bite for me? And little Rob Britton grabbed that fork and grabbed that knife. And you did your best. You just got one more of those KU basketball games, man. You don't ever got to watch. You don't ever have to watch Hunter Dickinson play basketball again. Wherever he goes to play basketball, it's not going to be on ESPN Plus. Wherever KJ Adams is, you won't see him play basketball again until that little tournament they do in the summer where he plays with other former KU players. He's not even going to be starting on that team. He's coming off the bench for them. TBT. The Mass Street Maniacs or whatever they call themselves. I don't know their name. You just got one more week, all right? Can you do it for me? Can you get through this last week?
I have no choice but to push through. It will be one more game. If they make it to two, it'll only be more upsetting because a game like last night will happen and they'll lose to a clearly superior team and it'll just make me angry. Okay. The good news is, though, for this summer, I have found our summer bit. I will every day talk about Darren Peterson.
Okay. Hey, if that makes you happy.
He will bring me joy again. That is what we'll do. Hey, the minute it's May and we got nothing to talk about because the Royals are just in the middle of the slog or what, and so day in and day out games.
I want to see you smile.
I will have Darren Peterson stats a galore.
I want to see you smile, buddy. I want to see you happy. Do you want to get a recruiting guy on? You want to get a recruiting guy on so we can just talk about Darren Peterson? We can do that. You want to do that? Let's do it.
Eric Bossy, get ready, buddy. You're about to be a guest on the drive.
I love Eric Bossy. You want me to have him on? I'll get Eric Bossy on the show. I'm sure he's seen this guy. We can do that. You know what? Next week, we will not preview KU's round one of the NCAA tournament. We'll talk to a recruiting guy about Darren Peterson. That's what we'll do next week. You have my word. I promise you. Text line 913. This show is about you guys. It's not about what I like. It's about what you guys like. It's about you guys. Let's do that next week. Let's write that down. 913-586-7965.
Real quick, I have, speaking of college basketball.
We have some breaking news?
Not breaking news. I have a little news and notes about the show. A player on Drake, Cam Manyawu, excuse me.
He went to Staley.
He will be on the show at 3:30 Monday.
Shout out to him.
I'm excited to tell
Shout
him.
Shout out to him.
I'm excited to have him come on the show and talk about facing Aiden Shaw.
Okay, well, you know what? You know what I would like for you to do? Let's work on getting his name right before he comes on the show. All right, let's work on that.
My job was to get him on the show. No, I checked the box.
Shout out to him. I'm happy to have him on the show. I'm happy to catch up with him. I just want you to get his name right by Monday. That's all I want you to do.
I want him to face Missouri on Thursday. That's what I want.
You know what? Let's move on. All right. I'm going to put my sword down. You put your sword down. Let's move on. Let's push forward. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. So we talked about Kansas basketball. You have given Kansas basketball a lot of money in your lifetime invested in watching them play. Let's spend time talking about your second favorite topic, which is running back. Now, I feel like this take needs a disclaimer. I don't think that the Kareem Hunt signing is a big deal. I really don't think it's that big of a deal. So I don't want to come off like I think it's a big deal. For those of you that missed it, the Chiefs have signed Kareem Hunt to a one-year, $2.5 million deal. It guarantees him like $1.2 million. He obviously can earn incentives, etc. This accounts for less than 1% of the salary cap. I don't care. I'm not upset about it. I'm not happy about it. It's just fine. It's okay. But what is more interesting to me about the Kareem Hunt signing is what does it mean? If it means that they feel they're done in the running back room, I will be very, very upset if that's what they think. Now, I certainly hope that's not what they think, but as of now, they have four running backs in that room. They have Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, Elijah Mitchell, and Carson Steele. Now, maybe they're making the argument that Carson Steele is going to move full-time over to fullback, and I can't count him in that number. So they only have three running backs. Okay, fine. They need to draft a running back. It is not a luxury to me at this point. It is a necessity. If you were going with what I just said, that you believe that Carson Steele is a fullback, then they do not have a running back that is signed past this upcoming football season. They have a couple of days in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where you have the ability very cheaply to sign a very talented running back that is going to be under contract for this upcoming season, the next season, the next season, and even the season after that. And you can get that player for almost the exact same amount that you were paying Kareem Hunt for this season, what you were paying Elijah Mitchell for this season, and what Isaiah Pacheco was making for this season. If they're going to draft a running back, I don't care. I'm serious. I don't care. You guys like Kareem Hunt. They like Kareem Hunt. He does serve purpose as a third and one, fourth and one, short yardage back. Hey, that's fine. I'm not here to knock moves that you guys really like that don't really cost a lot of money. As long as this comes with some provisions, this team has to draft a running back. We don't have to spend any more time talking about this position from now until the NFL draft, at least the veteran part of it. It's pretty simple. Can Isaiah Pacheco stay healthy? Can Elijah Mitchell stay healthy? How much gas does Kareem Hunt left in the tank? I don't have too many different creative ways to talk about those things. They all seem very straightforward to me. But there is one thing that I do want to talk about with them. I have identified who their next running back is. We had Nate Taylor on the show earlier today, and he spelled out the kind of running back that he believes the Chiefs are looking for. Well, then I know the kind of running back that they're looking for. Here's Nate Taylor.
How they evaluate these running backs, because there's something that I want to tell the listeners before I go, Carrington. Brett Veach has always told me, this is Andy Reid's offense, which means if you play running back, you better catch the football. What running back in this draft class is great at receiving, but also has the ability to get burst and to make the first guy miss? That was one of the brilliant things about them finding Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round in 2022. Even though he wasn't the most polished running back, he could catch the ball and he could make the first guy miss, and he had quality speed. Whoever that player is, if the Chiefs are able to identify and find him, boy, will that be a godsend to Patrick Mahomes.
There is a Isaiah Pacheco type running back in this year's draft class, a Maurice Jones-Drew type running back, a Kareem Hunt type running back in this year's draft class. It's Cam Scataboo from Arizona State. Last season, at a high level, he played in the Big 12, and you could say, oh, well, the Big 12 is weak. He also did it against Texas in the college football playoff. This past season, he averaged 5.8 yards per carry and had 21 touchdowns. And he had 45 catches for 605 yards and 3 touchdowns. He accounted for 24 touchdowns this year, and he did not fumble the ball at any point in his college football career. That sounds to me like a Chiefs running back. I then went on the Google machine, typed it in. Did you guys know that Isaiah Pacheco is officially listed at 5'10", 216 pounds? Cam Scataboo is 5'11", 215 pounds. They are the same kind of back, in my opinion. Athletically, physically, they're the same kind of back. I think Isaiah Pacheco is still their best running back. I do. I know that some of you don't feel that way. When Isaiah Pacheco has been healthy, he has been a very good running back. To put this into perspective, in 2023, Isaiah Pacheco got 205 carries. He got 935 yards. Last season, Kareem Hunt got 200 carries. He got 728 yards. Now, I know some of you don't think the 200 carries is a lot of carries. Well, James Cook last year got 206 carries. Bucky Irvin got 207 carries. 200 carries is a significant amount. He was fine. So that's why I'm not here to put down Kareem Hunt. I don't think there is a reason to. I think we all know what Kareem Hunt is. I think we all know what he is not. If you were going into this and he is your running back 3 or your running back 4 and you were using him in short yardage situations, great. But the time of giving Kareem Hunt, the time of giving him 20 carries, 15 carries, letting him get going, that time should be over. That time should be trying to get Devin Neal going or DJ Giddens going or the kid from Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. It should be about getting Cam Scott Abu going. This team has to run the football effectively last year. It has to run the football effectively next season. Has to. That is the number one thing that is on my list. I have been thinking this, Rob, and we can just make this, I guess, de facto hit number one or so. The thing that intrigues me the most about the Chiefs offseason is how different it is from the last time they were in this position. It's not like we don't have any track record of watching the Chiefs get embarrassed in the Super Bowl. That's happened before. In fact, that has happened in the last 5 years. You have seen them get thumped in the Super Bowl. They moved a lot different the last time than they moved this time. This year was a lot about continuity. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. The Chiefs were the second best team in the NFL last year. Keeping a majority of those players makes a lot of sense to me. But I haven't really seen a sense of urgency at really anything other than left tackle. I mean, they had to have an urgency at left tackle. You don't like any of the ones in the NFL draft, and if you drag your feet at left tackle, you will certainly be left behind. All of the moves that happened at left tackle happened in the first 24 hours. You are not finding your left tackle in day 6 or 7 of free agency. Certainly not anybody that you could play and felt good enough to put over there. So you had to make a little bit of a move. But, I mean, they didn't really show an urgency at running back to kind of change the energy in the room. They didn't, or at least haven't so far, shown that at wide receiver if there's an urgency to change the room. The last time they were in this spot, the Chiefs really tried to shake some things up and really kind of change the foundation of their team. That's not really the energy that they have in this offseason coming off of the disappointing Super Bowl performance.
The Chiefs are, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but this is how the Chiefs are acting. The Chiefs are acting like, hey, we had one really bad game, and it was the biggest game, but outside of that, we were fine. We were good enough. We were 15-2. One bad game will not define us. That roster was 15-2. We're doing it again. Because all their moves are basically, we're good. We're doing it again. Me and you never thought Kareem Hunt would be coming back after they signed Elijah Mitchell. They had Elijah Mitchell, but that's a one-year, $2.5 million running back. That's a nothing deal. Trey Smith is back. Hollywood Brown is back. Nick Bolton is back. I would have told you, I don't think 2/3 of those guys are coming back. Well, they're back. Here they come. I mean, the roster is going to be eerily similar. So the Chiefs are operating in the, we were 15-2 and had a bad game. We're 15-2 though. Run it back. We'll be fine. Which, that's a fine theory to have. I would tell you that I don't know it's a great game plan, but I don't think it's the worst game plan. But their energy, their moves, the way they are operating over a one Arrowhead drive is very much, we're good. All we got to do is just bring the pieces back and we'll be fine. Even though there are a handful of games they could have easily lost because it was one possession, either that this way or that way. But they are operating like, we're fine.
Yeah, which, I mean, I'm not here to find reasons to kind of poke in a team that was as good as Kansas City is. It's just the one thing that is kind of, I guess, surprising to me about kind of their offseason and how they moved is, for a team that their offense was just fine last year, their offense wasn't bad. It wasn't one of the best in the National Football League. They were not in the top 10 in points scored last year. For an offense that was 13th in the league, that they don't really seem, I guess, super interested in shaking it up at all. Like, every move they have made, aside from bringing in Jalen Moore, has been, we liked our offense from last season. Let's do that again. That's been all of their moves. And I would say, I don't really find it, I guess, super realistic to think that they are going to draft a starter at wide receiver and a starter at running back this offseason. I don't think they're doing both of those things. I think we can almost say on March 14th that their offense is mostly complete at this point, that there's only one thing missing. We will find out what running back they like coming up in 6 weeks or so. We don't know what running back they like now, but you and I, just looking at their roster and looking long-term, it makes them not to draft a running back at this point. Like, you can't even justify it to me, not even just for this team. Even if you just draft a running back and you telling me you're going to redshirt him for next year, it does not make any sense to me why you would not bring in a rookie cost-controlled when everybody in your room is going to be a... Right now, everybody in their running back room will be a free agent. It doesn't make sense to me not to draft one. The Chiefs are telling you offensively, we think we're fine, and we'll see what running back we get. I don't know if their offense is fine, and you guys know my stance. I would try to give Patrick Mahomes more weapons than I think they've given him, but for three straight off seasons, this has kind of been their philosophy when it comes to the parts around them, the weapons around them, and what they want to do offensively.
I mean, I guess, and this a credit to the texter, the text line says, well, you're going to add Rice back. That's right. What the Chiefs offseason is, what they are saying by their moves are, our roster was good, we were just unhealthy. And once we get healthy, we're going to be even better, and we were great last year. Because right now, their wide receiver room is Rashee Rice is back. That's how they've operated in free agency. Rashee Rice is back. They got Xavier Worthy. They got Rashee Rice. We're good. That's how they are currently handling wide receiver. At running back, they're saying, Isaiah Pacheco was hurt last year. We'll be fine. He'll be healthy. We'll be back. That is how they are operating. They are operating with, we are good. We get better just by a clean bill of health.
And I guess, and let me knock on wood here, I'm certainly not trying to put any bad juju on anybody. Based on the history of the players that they have, they are going to have a significant injury on their offense next season. Look at who they have. Look at who they have. History tells you Isaiah Pacheco is not playing 17 games. You have a 30-year-old running back in Kareem Hunt. Elijah Mitchell missed all of last season. So we know he is not a healthy player. Rashee Rice is coming off an ACL injury. Hollywood Brown has dealt with injury. Xavier Worthy doesn't have any injury histories, but he's one of the smallest wide receivers in the National Football League. The law of averages tell you they are not going to keep everybody happy. It feels to me, heading into this whole process, they have, again, just enough offensively. Just enough offensively. They don't have an abundance of anything, not in the running back room, not in the tight end room, not at wide receiver. They have just enough. And if an injury happens to their team the same way that it happened last season, we will be having the same conversation again in October that they're going to need to add somebody via trade. That's the same conversation we had. An injury happened to players that get hurt, and then we were having the conversation about who they could potentially add at the trade deadline. I kind of think the same thing is going to happen. I guess we have to see how aggressive they're going to be at the draft and what they want to do in terms of the offense. Maybe they spend a first-round pick on a wide receiver, they spend a third-round pick on a running back, and they got two new 22-year-old offensive options to throw into the mix, and they're going to have a young, explosive, push-the-ball-down-the-field offense. That's just not the offense that I'm currently seeing on paper for Kansas City. I'm also just not really sure if their offensive line's much better at this point. I don't really know anybody could tell you that their offensive line is better. Are we 100% certain that the offensive line that they put out there a month ago in the Super Bowl, that they are better on their offensive line today? I don't know if they are. I don't know if they're worse, but they could have a very similar offensive line to the one that they had last year.
I'll also say, to your bill of health point, that someone's going to get hurt, that's football.
No, that's like fair.
The Chiefs had bad injury luck last year. If a fan will say that, that's true. I do believe the Chiefs had bad injury luck in 2024. Football is a very violent game. Players are going to get injured. So the mindset of, if we get that clean bill of health, we're good. No team in the NFL gets the clean bill of health. None. No, it is just too violent of a sport. Well, I think it was George Kittle was on a podcast, and he said, it's the equivalent of having a car accident every Sunday. People get hurt. So if your game plan is, hey, we're healthy, and once we're healthy, watch out, that's a bad game plan because no one's healthy. It's not a sport where you're like, hey, after 18 weeks, man, we're in great shape. And I would tell you, going into the playoffs, the Chiefs are actually relatively healthy. So I have my complaints with the get healthy plan, but that appears, based on everything we've seen at Arrowhead, like what they're doing.
No, you're right. And someone on the text line says, to be fair, the Chiefs never got to see their offense healthy and all play together, which also may not happen next season when you factor in health and legal questions. I mean, we're still looking at a suspension for Rashee Rice. We are still looking off him coming off an ACL injury. We're still looking at, is Elijah Mitchell going to be healthy? Like, their offense is going to have some questions heading into next season. Rob, I know we didn't get a chance to get to the hits. Can you hit the button, do the read, and then we'll, I guess, get back to the hits?
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits.
number one.
Carrington the Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, since we're up against the break, Carrington, our question will be Chief-centric and simple. Former Chief Joshua, I don't know if we can even call him that, but whatever. Joshua Uche.
He's definitely a former Chief.
I mean, me and you were active more often than he was last year. He is now a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. He signed a one-year contract with them earlier today, according to reports. Carrington, maybe it's nothing, maybe it's something, but if Uche is more successful in Philadelphia, is that an indictment on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Indictment feels too strong of a word. It's definitely intriguing. I would say, now, we didn't get a chance to see a lot of Joshua Uche. If there are any two defenses that if you can't operate in those two defenses, maybe you're not an NFL player anymore. It's the two that he is signed to. He was on Kansas City's defense last year with a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator, and they did not put him on the field for the final 7 weeks of the season. He now is going to Philadelphia. I think right now Philadelphia has to have the title of the best defense in the National Football League. Certainly with the track record of turning things around for players and getting guys to play at a really, really high level. Certainly that's the case. So I'm just curious to see what happens with Joshua Uche. Maybe nothing happens and we never talk about him again. Maybe we'll look up and it'll be week 7 of the NFL season. And oh, wait, that guy has 3 sacks. And wait, he's actually playing pretty well for Philadelphia. I mean, you guys just had him less than a year ago. Why could you guys not get anything out of him? Yet this team is. So I definitely think it's a very interesting kind of thing to follow a little bit with them. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little college basketball. Missouri plays Florida coming up in a little bit. We also try to figure out what seed KU is going to be in the NCAA tournament. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Before we get out of here, I want to replay our interview with Kyle Isbell. Maybe you missed him earlier today on the show. He was really enjoyable to talk to. We'll play it for you before we get out of here. All right, Rob. What seed do you think KU is going to be in the NCAA tournament? Their resume, at least in regards to the seeding, is complete. They're not having, they don't have any more games between now and when we see the bracket. If I had to guess, I think KU gets a 6 seed, and I think they are in the 6-11 matchup. And knowing the NCAA tournament, they'll probably play a little later in the evening. I could see them going out to Seattle or somewhere. I think they're going to be a 6 seed. Where do you think KU is going to be seated at? I think they're going to get the 6 seed over the 7 seed because of the non-con wins that they have. They did beat Duke earlier this season. They did beat Michigan State earlier this season. And those two teams have turned out to be two of the better teams in the NCAA tournament. I think that's going to be enough to keep them off the 7 line. Where do you think they're going to land?
Man, in a twist of fate I didn't see coming, I think you are more optimistic than I am. I think they are a 7 seed. I think they finished 6th in the Big 12. They had to survive in advance against UCF, and they did not look good against Arizona. The NCAA tournament committee knows what I know, what you know. Hey, their fan base will travel, but their game doesn't. The minute they get out of Allen, they are not good. Just not good at all. I guess beating Cincinnati, but that's just the definition of not good. So I think they're in the 7-10 game. And I think they're facing similar team. I don't think they're going to see a mid-major. I think they're going to be a 7-10, and they're going to face Oklahoma, or a 7-10, and they'll face Texas, or one of those teams who gets in late to the NCAA tournament. I think that's where they are. And then it's, if you're a KU fan, if you want to dream a dream a little bit, you start looking at who the softest 2 seed is. But I think they are in 7-10 game.
I'm looking at Joe Lunardi's bracket right now. He has them as the 6 seed in the Providence region. They would go up against Vanderbilt, and the 3 seed would be St. John. I think St. John would be a very difficult matchup for Kansas in the second round. I think St. John would be a very difficult matchup for just about any team in college basketball. I actually think they're one of the 5 best teams that are in this NCAA tournament. Looking at Joe Lunardi's bracket, he also has Missouri as a 7 seed as well. He has Missouri here. Let me see if I can pull it up. He has Missouri as the 7 seed. They would go out to Cleveland, and they would play Michigan State in the second round. West Virginia would be their 7-10 matchup. That feels about right for both Kansas and Missouri. I think an 8 or a 9 seed doesn't really make a lot of sense for either of those teams. It's either going to be a 6. It's either going to be a 7. I would say for Missouri, now I think it's different because they still have a way to go. I guess they have 1 more game to build their resume, possibly 2 more games to build their resume. I think Missouri avoids a 7 if they win today against Florida. If Missouri has two wins.
They're a 6 then in that world. I don't think they're going past semifinals.
I agree with you. If Missouri wins today against Florida, I think they avoid the 7 line, and I think they end up going to the 6 line. I think they end up being a 6, which you obviously much rather be a 6 than be a 7 because the team you would play in the second round, like, if you're telling me, now you'd have to beat a good team, but in that 3 seed, Texas A&M, Iowa State, Kentucky, St. John, as long as you don't get St. John, I think St. John's the best of those 3 seeds, I think you take your chances against the other 3 seeds that are available. Obviously, a lot needs to happen. You got to beat Florida today. Maybe you end up getting a 6 seed anyway. We're all playing speculation when it comes to the bracket. Good thing is we don't have too many more days of speculation, at least when it comes to the NCAA tournament. But it does feel like, even though it has been a very different path to get here, it does feel like both Kansas and Missouri are in a very, very similar boat. They're either going to be a 6 or a 7. I would be surprised if either one of those teams get the 8-9. I don't really think that those two teams are the type for the 8-9 matchup. It would be very disappointing if that's what they gave Missouri. Very disappointing if that's what they would give Kansas. I don't think that either one of those teams deserve to be on that 8-9 line.
The Drive. First to breaking news in Kansas City.
Well, Carrington, we have some NFL free agency news. It does not involve the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's something we talked about earlier in the show. Cooper Kupp has a new home. He is now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. According to Diana Rossini, he signed a 3-year deal worth $15 million per year with the Seattle Seahawks. Cooper Kupp is heading out west. He is now a Seattle Seahawk, per Diana Rossini.
Hold on, time out. Turn it off. Turn the music off. Turn the music off. Repeat what you just said to me.
He is now signed with Seattle. It is a 3-year, $45 million deal. He is getting $15 million per year, to play for the Seattle Seahawks.
You're lying. I don't know why you would lie to me. I don't know what I've done for you to lie to me, but you were telling me, I just want to point this out. You were telling me that there was an NFL team that signed up for a multiple year contract for Cooper Kupp and is giving him $15 million a year to play for their team. That's what you're telling me. Okay.
Actually, now let me read the Rapoport says he's likely to make $15 million per year or more. He added the or more there at the end.
Okay.
So the Seattle Seahawks could be giving him $15 million per year or more. Could be some bonus money in there.
What are these teams, what are they doing? What are they doing? You could have got Darius Slayton for cheaper than this. I'd rather have Darius Slayton at this age. He's 25 years old. What? You could have got Tutu Atwell. You could have got Dimony Brown. You could have got... You chose to spend multiple years and go get Cooper Kupp? For what reason? I mean, he's getting Cortland Sutton money. Okay. All right. Well, hey, I'm not here to knock anybody's back. Congratulations to Cooper Kupp for fooling, swindling, hoodwinking the Seattle Seahawks. That's one of the worst contracts in free agency. He got a multiple year. How much is the guarantee?
I have not seen the guarantees come across.
Let's just guess. At $45 million, I'm guessing that the guarantees are higher than 25.
I was going to guess 32. It's my guess. It's my gut, which is still bad.
It's really bad. I'm not joking. That's one of the worst contracts we've seen in free agency. It's a bad contract that you will regret at the end of the season.
And you'll have a second and third year of it.
I mean, I guess you had to do something for Sam Darnold. You had to get him something, but
I mean, did you? You have Jackson Smith and Jigba on the team.
Yeah, I mean,
he's on the roster right now.
You ain't got nobody else. Tyler Lockett's gone. DK Metcalf is gone. Who else he gonna throw the ball to? You gotta throw it to somebody.
Teams not know about this thing. It's new, so maybe they don't know about it. It's the NFL draft. It's coming up in about a month.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. That's what I would have done. I'd rather have Luther Burden than have Cooper Kupp. I'd rather trade up to go get a wide receiver. I wouldn't have given Cooper Kupp this money. I think that's a ridiculous contract. 3 years, $45 million a year for Cooper Kupp. That's crazy. I'm sitting here looking at the wide receiver numbers. I pulled it up here on SpotTrack. That's a top 25 contract in the National Football League for a wide receiver. It's actually 23rd in the league. Cooper Kupp is not one of the 25 best wide receivers in the National Football League, so his agent did a phenomenal job. It goes to show you, man, if you were elite at one point in your career, man, there is a serious value on it. That was four NFL seasons ago. Giving him that much money right now is crazy, in my opinion. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kyle Isbell. Earlier on the show today, we had Kyle Isbell. Kyle Isbell plays for your Kansas City Royals. We had a fun time talking to him. I want to play it for you as we wrap up the show today. Our conversation started with, what's your Chick-fil-A order?
Depends on the day, but usually I go spicy sandwich, add American cheese and bacon. Of course, have the waffle fries and then probably throw some nuggets in there as well.
What I really appreciate about Chick-fil-A, Kyle, is it's a great experience every single time. Like, you know exactly what to expect. The food's going to be good. The service is going to be good. They're going to get it to you quickly. Every place should be like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, they're amazing. They always get you going right, and the food's always a blast.
So yesterday we had Josh Vernier on the show, and I asked him this question. It's one thing for somebody that does pre- and post-game. It's one thing to ask a baseball player. I asked him what made him fall in love with baseball. I'll ask you the same question. At one point, you were a kid that had a dream. What made you fall in love with baseball?
Just growing up, my sisters actually both played softball, so I kind of grew up always going to watch them play. My dad was always with me, working with me, and I just loved watching the game. Favorite player was Derek Jeter, watching him grow up. He did everything in the game, obviously, but just watching him, how he goes about his business, how he takes his at-bats, his professionalism, his leadership, and I just try to run that through my game every day.
So I have to ask you, have you ever met Derek Jeter before?
I have not.
What was your welcome to Major League Baseball moment? Was it going up against a certain pitcher? Was it going to a certain ballpark? What was that moment for you?
I mean, I think it was just opening day. You have this dream as a little kid to play in the big leagues. And I got the honor to do it opening day in 2021, and just being there with the guys, being in a big league stadium, hearing the fans for the first time, like it was a dream come true. It was a blast.
What's it like to hit a home run? Like, I've never hit a home run before in my entire life. I've just hit one on the video game before. But even when you hit one on the Wii, you're still like, oh my goodness, I did that. What is it like to hit a home run?
It's probably the greatest feeling, either that or robbing a home run, one of the two. No, there's nothing else like it, taking your jog around the bases, giving your little tips to the pitchers out in the bullpen, come back in and celebrate with the guys. It's awesome.
Tell us the story of your first home run. I'm sure you remember it like it just happened.
Yeah, it was against the Oakland A's. I think it was Sergio Romo in, I think, the seventh or eighth inning. He threw me a slider, and I hit it just to the right of the bullpen. It was a kind of a blackout moment running around the bases. Couldn't tell you too much about it.
What is the game that you guys play? So, like, me and my producer, you talked to him earlier today. We go at it on the college football game. If we got, like, 30 minutes of free time, we're downstairs playing the game. And sometimes, you know, you're two guys, you're trying to win. What is that game in the locker room? What's that game in the clubhouse for you guys that just always brings the competition out?
I would say we play cards, or a game. It's called Pluck. Played a little bit against we're in the playoffs in Baltimore. Played a little bit of Madden against Vinny. That got pretty hot real quick.
I'm going back and I'm reading a little bit about your backstory. What was it like to be in college in Las Vegas? Like, you know, most of us have been there as a tourist. You lived and went to college. You're 19 years old, 20 years old in Las Vegas. What is that like?
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's a good time for sure. It just, the main thing on your mind is obviously playing baseball. You know, you want to be the best player you can be every single day. It doesn't matter where you're at, what state you're in. I mean, that was my main focus every day. Get up, go to school, and play baseball. Be the best person I can be every day.
When was that moment where you felt like, because I'm sure every kid has this dream, hey, I'm pretty good at baseball. Hey, I've got a chance to do this. I'm sure there was that moment where you're like, wait, I actually have a chance to be a Major League Baseball player. Do you remember when that moment was?
Yeah, I think it was summer of probably 2017. I played in the Cape Cod League, played in the All-Star game up there, and a lot of those guys I played with are now playing in the big leagues, but that was just kind of being around those guys, and it was, I mean, that's when it kind of hit me.
I'm sitting here looking at it, and your junior year, you hit .357 with a slash line, a .357, .441, and .643. You were on fire as a junior.
Yeah, it's feeling good.
Yeah, no, you were absolutely on fire, man. We're talking to Kyle Isbell right now. What was it like to go from, you're in Las Vegas, you know, you're sitting there and, you know, you can do all the fun things that Las Vegas has, and then you start your career in Idaho Falls. I can't think of two drastically different places like Las Vegas and Idaho Falls.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the atmosphere of the stadium in Idaho Falls was incredible. We didn't get too many fans out at UNLV. I feel like it was a lot more parents and students. But, no, Idaho Falls, I actually had a blast up there. It's the same thing. You just, baseball's on your mind. You get to play baseball. You get to come out. And there was a good crowd every single night. And playing with a bunch of new players. It was the first time I got to play with just different players from around the country and even nationally. And it was just fun learning a different form of baseball.
What park have you not been to yet as a professional player that you want to go to? You know, like every other year you guys go to certain parks. Have you got a chance to go to all of them yet?
No, I haven't been to Milwaukee and Miami. So I'm not sure if we go to Milwaukee this year, but I know for sure we go to Miami right after the All-Star break, so I'm pretty pumped to go there.
I also can't think of two places that are the polar opposites like Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Miami, yeah, Florida, as someone who has been to both of them. Two very different places.
Yeah, that's funny.
What city do you enjoy the most when you guys have a road trip?
Ooh, what city? I really like Boston. Boston's fun. New York is different. It's fun. There's a lot going on, obviously. But, yeah, there's just so many good cities out there. You just can't take them all for granted. I mean, you just they're all so different, like you're saying, and just enjoy all of them and just spend your days there, and it's a great time.
One I don't think gets enough credit is Toronto for a road trip. Toronto is a really good 3-4 day road trip.
Yeah, Toronto's sweet. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I kind of lost for words when you're saying that because they're all so different. I mean, even in Baltimore, like, there's just so many. Texas, Houston, like, there's so many good places out there to play. I mean, they're all good, honestly.
Right now we're talking to Kyle Isbell for a couple more minutes. Kyle, do you have a hobby that we don't know about? Maybe you're a golfer, a bowler, you really like movies. Like, tell us a little bit more about what you like to do outside of playing baseball.
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, I did a lot of bowling. My dad was in bowling leagues, and I did bowl a lot. But, yeah, I would say my favorite thing now is probably – I still bowl a little bit, but I would say hunting and fishing is probably my favorite thing to do on my free time now.
I'm terrible at bowling in real life, but, Kyle, let me tell you, when I was in college, this is when, you know, everybody had – Wii Sports was the big thing in college. And we used to do every Tuesday, if you came in last place, you had to pay for the wings for everybody that decided to play. You want to talk about pressure. I know you've played in the postseason. You don't know pressure like you got eight other people bowling and you can't come in last place.
That's funny.
Who's somebody that you've gone hunting and fishing with? You had a good time. You really enjoyed it. We had Cole Reagans on the show a couple of times. We know that he's an outdoorsman as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just family, really. There's just something about being out in the woods. It's just so peaceful and relaxing. I've gone, my best man at my wedding, grew up with, going to high school, middle school with. He's gone with me the last 4 or 5 years. And then just cousins and relatives. It's just spending family time out in a different scenery is just, it's just what I look forward to every year.
That is our guy Kyle Isbell joining us on the show today. He plays outfield for the Kansas City Royals. Opening day in Major League Baseball is just a couple of weeks away. Kyle, great stuff, man. It was great catching up with you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, take care of yourself. On Monday, we'll break down the brackets. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.